I'm Marianne Kolbasek McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Betsy Hodge, a partner of the law firm Akerman LLP. We're going to be speaking about privacy and security issues involving telehealth and remote patient monitoring. So, Betsy, as we know, during the COVID pandemic, telehealth and remote patient monitoring really took off. What are you seeing in terms of utilization of these sorts of telemedicine applications these days? And what are some of the top privacy and security risks that you're seeing emerge?
Well, Marianne, we're seeing providers using telehealth, and especially we're seeing them turning more to remote patient monitoring because it allows providers to reach those patients that might not necessarily, come in to a physician's office or a hospital on a regular basis due to, a number of barriers to care. And so we are seeing the provider community embrace these technologies. However, the use of telehealth and the use of remote patient monitoring does introduce additional privacy and security considerations that those healthcare delivery organizations deploying those technologies need to be aware of and need to assess and manage in order to have a successful telehealth or remote patient monitoring program.
With that said, compared with traditional healthcare that is delivered in a medical care setting, such as a hospital or a doctor office, what are some of these extra privacy and cybersecurity issues and regulatory concerns involving remote patient monitoring and telehealth?
You teed that up very well, Marianne, because as you said, if you're traditionally the patient comes into the hospital or they go into the doctor's office and the hospital or the physician controls the environment in which the care is provided. It's the provider just needs to worry about their systems. However, when you introduce telehealth or you introduce, and especially when you introduce remote patient monitoring, you now have these other environments that the healthcare delivery organization needs to be concerned with, including the telehealth platform provider, and particularly the patient's home environment. And as you might guess, the resources and the knowledge about how to address the risks across all three spectrums. So the healthcare delivery organization environment, the telehealth platform provider environment, and then the patient's home environment. You have quite a wide spread in terms of knowledge, technology, and resources to address the privacy and security concerns in those three environments. So, stated differently, a patient generally is not going to have the same IT resources in their home that a telehealth platform or a large health system has in the event there is something that goes wrong with the technology that's being deployed in the patient's home. Similarly, the patient may not have the same knowledge about how to operate the technology being deployed in their home that the telehealth platform provider has or the healthcare system has. So it's important that any healthcare delivery organization that's deploying a telehealth platform or a remote patient monitoring system understand where their patient base is in terms of knowledge about privacy, security, and just, how to operate the technology that's being deployed. And the healthcare delivery organization may have to invest and probably should invest resources in training and educating the patients about how to use the device and, what best privacy and security safeguards are in that home environment in order to ensure that the healthcare delivery organization is getting good data to be able to provide care to the patient and is minimizing risk of cyber threats to the data and to the patient's safety.
So now, Betsy, when it comes to vendor risk issues involving telehealth and remote patient monitoring, what sort of privacy and security issues are involved? For instance, in the transmission of data, perhaps to a healthcare provider that's, remote, that, might be looking at this monitoring data, hacking threats. What should covered entities and business associates be mindful of when it comes to this vendor risk and the issues that are involved and how to address them?
So, well, I think you just teed up a couple of those risks, Marianne. So thank you for doing that. But yes, you need healthcare delivery organizations need to be vetting these vendors that will be offering telehealth platforms. You want to assess their compliance with the HIPAA security rule because the platforms are most likely going to be business associates if the healthcare delivery organization is a covered entity. And so, you would want to have a business associate agreement with the vendor, but also do some diligence around the vendor. And I would probably prioritize the telehealth platform vendor as a higher priority vendor in the healthcare delivery organization's risk assessment and risk management program. And, obviously, ensuring you've got a contract with them, that they've been around, and again, making sure they go through the organization's vendor due diligence program.
So, Betsy, when it comes to some of the actual patient monitoring gear, perhaps devices that keep tabs on vital signs or maybe blood sugar readings, those sorts of things, we often hear about vulnerabilities in the software used in these devices that are then either, the subject of alerts from the FDA or from CISA. How should covered entities and business associates that are dealing with these devices in patient care remotely be addressing those issues? If it's something that's being used in a patient home and, something needs to be updated from a software perspective or patched, how should that get handled?
Organizations, covered entities that are deploying these systems need to first make sure that they are including their remote patient monitoring and telehealth programs in their enterprise-wide risk analysis. And then flowing from that, these remote monitoring systems should then be incorporated into the organization's risk management plan, which would then help describe how the covered entities plan to address patching or updating these devices that are now being deployed outside the organization's four walls. And that is something that needs to be considered before you roll out a telehealth or a remote patient monitoring program. And then, as you know, there are some of these devices, implantables, that may not be able to be patched because they don't, when they were designed, they don't have the capacity to have some of the security features that one might hope. So the covered entity needs to consider what compensating controls they're going to have in place to maintain the security of those devices. And, even considering if you can choose between several different devices, might you opt for one that has greater security built into it and is easier to manage from a remote location? I think you would have to be very careful about trying to implement a solution that would require the patient to be responsible for patching. I think that's fraught with peril. And I think if something went wrong, it would be the covered entity that would bear responsibility for that.
And Betsy, during the height of the COVID pandemic, the Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights had said that they had discretion over enforcement of certain, HIPAA requirements during the pandemic as it relates to telehealth and some of the apps that were being used during the height of the pandemic. Those kind of exclusions or, the relaxing of the rules, that's over now, right? And when it comes to patients using, some of these consumer sorts of apps that they have on their phones, whether it's FaceTime or something like that, is that acceptable in terms of use for telehealth?
First, you're correct that the enforcement discretion that OCR exercised during the pandemic with respect to compliance with the security rule, that is over. And so covered entities and business associates are expected to fully comply with the security rule now. Whether, I mean, each organization is going to have to do its own risk analysis about what tools it wants to use for telehealth or remote monitoring services. And there are some available tools that, or apps out in the marketplace that may allow an organization to comply with HIPAA. I don't want to say that they are HIPAA compliant, but they, if used properly, you know, with other safeguards, may satisfy the requirements of the security rule. But again, organizations need to be very thoughtful about what tools they want to use when they are rolling out their own telehealth or remote monitoring programs and really understand the risks of using the different technologies and also thinking through what controls they can put in place to appropriately address the risk that those devices might pose.
And so, Betsy, from a regulatory perspective, or maybe even a legislative perspective, what are you keeping your eyes on as it pertains to telemedicine, remote monitoring, and similar telehealth activities right now and in the months ahead?
Well, we do have the notice of proposed rulemaking to update the HIPAA security rule. So I'm watching that closely. The comment period closes March 7th. So folks should get their comments in before then. And I think it will be interesting to see what, if, and how that proposed rule gets finalized and whether it will retain the flexibility that's in the existing security rule, or if it's going to move in the direction of what's in the proposed rule and B, have less flexibility, because I think that may, how that falls out may have an impact on what telehealth and remote patient monitoring looks like once the rule is finalized. Also, looking at the proposed rule, the DEA proposed rule regarding prescribing and to see how that gets finalized. And then, you know, also looking to see what happens with the FTC's health breach notification rule, which is in effect, but it will be interesting to see if, you know, there are any changes around that rule because that sweeps in health apps that are not subject to HIPAA, you know, and health app developers that may not be covered entities or business associates. So it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, happens with that rule with respect to what may be considered data breaches. And then also watching OCR's enforcement going forward and also enforcement by the FTC.
Well, thank you so much, Betsy. I've been speaking to attorney Betsy Hodge. I'm Mary Ann Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.